But I want to read this morning from Luke, the 4th chapter, the 40th verse, Luke 4 and 40, for your hearing. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers, the Bible says divers, that's different diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Let me read this small verse again. And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them. Look at your neighbor and say, it's personal. Yeah, this is personal. Remember, he could have just said, be healed. They would have been healed. But Jesus made it real personal. He said, I'm going to lay hands on every one of them. I'm going to make it personal. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not over at sundown. No, you didn't see it. Say it again. It's not over at sundown. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and worshiping. I'm just real excited about what I just saw. I know all these young people went up there, that NAYC, AA, whatever, and had a tremendous. In fact, I got a report this morning, over 1,000 were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's a legitimate number. 1,000, I believe it's 1,087 was filled with the Holy Ghost. Legitimate. 700 and something young people were baptized. 105 documented miracles. I believe that little city got shook up. Amen. In fact, I'll just quickly state, I was told by a legitimate source that the people that were serving food out in the breezeway or something, the foyer, all that mess, where they get the food, and this was a Lucas Stadium, they literally stated, we can't hardly prepare the food from the power we're feeling. We've never felt anything like this. Honey, it's real. When you get a bunch of, hey, it's real in this building today. It's the same thing that's in this building today. Same Holy Ghost, same Jesus, same Spirit is in this building today. Amen. I give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, thank God. You may be seated. Sunrise is a beautiful thing. I've seen many of them. In fact, this morning, my little bride, she was up at 12:30 last night praying for people and hasn't gone to bed. And I got up at 3-something and doing the same thing. And some of the people were exactly the same. But she posted a picture of a rainbow at sunrise. And when I saw it this morning, I thought, that is so beautiful. I called her and I said, did it rain? And she said, no, I don't know why there's a rainbow, because it didn't even rain. And sunrise is pretty. If you have never seen it, you ought to just do it, especially where I live out in the country now. It comes creeping up over the trees, and the pink lights of the sun is always pink, and it's just very, very calming. It appears that the world kind of wakes up at sunrise. It's a magnificent sight to see those brilliant rays of morning light. Sometimes they even separate. I don't know how they do that. But it's overpowering. In the woods, you can see squirrels. They become active and start running out of the nest, and ducks fly off the pond, and deer begin to move. Oh, yeah, thankful we got a brand new baby fawn at the house, and she's got a, shot me a picture of it. I feed the deer. I don't shoot them. I feed them. And they're getting fat on my acreage. They're getting fat, you know. So we got a little baby and got spots, and I can't wait to get back, see if I can train that one. They're right. When I got there, they was way out there. Now they're right there. I just want them to be right here. I don't know why. I just want one of them to low. I like that old man. I'm fishing to go get out of his hand. You know, I go out there and do this, and they'll look at me like, what's he doing? I'm like, come on, come on. Come on. You're not far from salvation. Come on. So the deer wake up, and their babies begin to move. Eagles rise into the air, and birds begin to sing. I love to hear the birds around my house. We have so many. I got a bluebird nest there, and I know it don't sound, or you wouldn't think me as a lover of all of this, but I plant love flowers, and I'm different than what a lot of people perceive. So I like to hear those birds. I got one big old woodpecker. Sounds like he's always chopping trees down. Out on the farm, the rooster stands up right down beside our, right about a half a mile, maybe a quarter of a mile. Tina's got, 30 hens. And when the eggs went up, they didn't go up in my house. Hallelujah. I was eating real organic eggs that are not white. The real ones, I don't know how they come out colored, but I've never sat up all night to watch. But they're colored instead of white. So I don't know where the white ones are coming from. They must have steroids in them or something. But the rooster stands up, and he'll crow. And you can hear him all the way down to my house. Horses rise in the field, and they start racing, and cattle stand, and they begin to graze because it's sunrise. It's a new morning. It's wonderful beginning. In the city, it's the same thing. People get ready for work, and some smell bacon and eggs, and doctors open their offices, and mechanics throw open the doors of their garages, and malls begin to open up, and shoppers get dressed, and dentists warms up the drills. Mothers get the children ready for school because it's sunrise. It's morning. Life is waking up. It's time to go about our business. And everything is busy. It's just get that done and get this done. It's time to do stuff. At about 12 o'clock, it seems like we all begin to realize, hey, it's 12. It's fixing to turn into the afternoon. I've got plenty of time, but I just need to hurry up a little bit. Now, I'm of that persuasion. I move a little slower in the morning, but when it starts getting about noon, I'm like, dude, I better step it up just a notch because I'm one of those people that build a list every day, and I check things off the list, And it seems like that at 12, most people begin to get a little bit more active or antsy, if I can use that word, because sunset is coming. And you'll notice that we all see that brilliant sunlight that begins to fade. Sunset begins to arrive. When sunset comes, squirrels hurry back to the nest and ducks fly back to the pond and eagles land for the night and deer find a place to sleep and birds fly back to their babies and farm. You'll see the rooster and the hens go back to the roost because sun is setting. Isn't it weird how animals know? Nobody's telling the rooster, hey, you better get the hens back to the roost. Nobody's telling that deer, hey, they are just looking at the sun. And that sun is telling them it's sunset and it's fixing to get dark. Night is upon us. Horses find their young and cattle laid down in a circle and realizing that day is about over. In the city, people rush to get home before darkness. The mechanics hang out that sign that says, closed for the day. No, that's the wrong thing. Think about it. They're closed for the night. See, y'all have always looked at that and said, see, I look at things different. If you say closed for the day, that means you're not going to be open tomorrow. But it's closed for the night. What they're telling us is we're closed for the night. Doctors shut the door to the offices, and dentists begin to clean up and put their drills together, and mamas gather their children because sunset is here, and sunset means nighttime. Look at your neighbor and say nighttime. Darkness. Darkness. Now it's different. Darkness brings another type of thing. It's dark. It's time for the devil to wake up. It's time for the devil's playground to wake up. Bars begin to light up. Misery begins to open its eyes, and death awakens. Depression steps out of the shadows, and loneliness sets up. The devil wants to play. Seems like everything is worse at night. Seems like sickness is worse at night. Seems like even a cut finger hurts more at night. I know when my knee was messed up from up here, you notice God's healing that thing. My knee at night, it would just be, I can't even hardly sleep. It hurts so bad because it was night. People, there's more people die at night than day. You can only make it through the night. That's if I can just make it through the night. Maybe, just maybe, things will be better tomorrow. If I can make it through the night, sunrise is coming, and if sunrise, then everything's going to wake up, and I should be in better shape, but I just got to make it through the night. I've got to make it through this dark time. The people that I have read to you about this morning has gathered around this house because Jesus was in that house. It's an amazing thing to me to be able to always focus that wherever Jesus was, without internet, without TV, without a telephone, somebody always knew that the real deal was right there. Oh, I'm supposed to preach. Jesus, help me. You know why? Because people talk. Hallelujah. People talk. They wasn't ashamed of it. If you didn't like it, go on. When I talk about the Lord, there's some people, I have some people in my family that are backslidden going to a devil's hell. I know exactly. Now, they ain't looking. Not today. They're out playing. But it wasn't too long ago that I was there with them all at the house, and I'm talking about the Lord, and two of them lowered their head, and one of them rolled her eyes. I called her hide out right then. Said, she's trying to eat my food. She gonna pay attention. Her mom and daddy standing right there. I said, what caused you to roll your eyes when I'm talking about Jesus? She immediately snapped. Because, see, most people just let it go. I put her on the spot. Tell me what you don't like about Jesus. Oh, Lord. If you finna get off in my ribs, I ain't talking about these, but if you finna get off in my ribs and brisket and you don't like my message, why are you here? Because you know Uncle Gordon is going to pray for everything, and I'm going to pray about everybody. I got some of them heathens all lined up ready to eat. I ain't going to feed them until I get through the prayer meeting. That's just the way it is around my house. And I don't say, Lord, thank you for the food. I go down the list and start talking about thank you for healing and thank you for deliverance and thank you for bringing me out of drugs and thank you for bringing me out of alcoholism. Thank you for what you've did. If you can do it for me, you can do it for everybody else. I'm going to pray. I'm going to testify. Come on, you got to start talking about what God's doing for you if everybody's going to be excited about who you are. You could be seated for a minute. I'm going to go on. But see, people, this, I hear people say, well, they ought to know by the way I dress. I don't, y'all don't know this chick. But there was a girl named Crystal Gayle that was a country singer. Her hair touched the ground. The ground. Black, straight, long, beautiful. The girl was beautiful. In fact, never mind. But I'd always thought if she'd just sing a little rock. But she dressed modest. But if you saw her in the mall, you wouldn't have known she was a country singer. She'd just been a pretty chick. All the men say amen. If you knew her, you better back me up, men. I'm out here on this limb behind myself. I don't know if men start looking down like, I don't even know what you're talking about, brother. Boy, I hate country. Let me move my boots over in the truck. And but when I get them, like I said, I've got one that's got so much metal in her, it'd take her 2 hours to go through TSA. But when she gets there, I mean, she's one of them still wears the chain and all that mess. But when she gets to my house, I ain't bossing nobody else's house, but I am mine. I'm going to tell you right now. And when she gets there, she knows. And here's what the weird thing is. She'll always get over by my wife when I start praying. Like she's going to protect. And then it always, I don't know why she does, but my wife always gets a chance to lay her hand right there and start praying with her. And Charmion will start trying to, oh, I shouldn't have done this. Why in the world? You know why? It's because our houses need to be a place where anybody comes in knows we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be praying about, my mother used to pray every day in that house and sing psalms at the kitchen sink. Honey, we need to let the world know in Springfield. We need to let everybody in our families know Jesus is in this house. Let me go on real quick by just saying, if you make them mad, what about it? Hello, let me show y'all something. Well, I don't want to run them off. They're already off. I don't want them to get mad at me and not come back. So you're going to placate, compromise, and you need them in your life so bad. No. They need you in their life. You are the one that tells them about Jesus. If they run them off, if Jesus' testimony runs them off, then they aren't close friends with you anyway. You just got to say, first and foremost, it's going to be about Jesus. I got to get them in church. I've got to get them in the altar. Their soul is lost. Bless your name, Jesus. And so I'm sorry I got sidetracked, but I just need to give, we need to get, I don't know if y'all do all that door knocking and stuff. I don't know how y'all operate. I mean, I'm going to tell you something how I operate. I go into a restaurant, I ever wait. I know I bug people. I don't care. Here's what I live my life. You don't like me? You know what? Don't get around me. I used to be a drug dealer, and you want me to shut up? Are you kidding me? I used to be an alcoholic, and you want me to shut up? Are you kidding me? I ain't never going to shut up. I don't care if anybody ever likes me. Jesus brought me out. I don't care. Jesus brought me out. Somebody give Jesus a high five and a praise. He brought us out. Oh, Lord, I got to go on. I just feel like telling somebody, honey, it's time to stand up and do what we are and just tell them. You could tell them nice. I'd say things a lot more blunt than my wife does, of course. I mean, she's my balance, you know, and she's the one that looks at me and goes, Gordon, be nice. I was preaching a revival years ago. I'm going to go on. I was preaching a revival years ago. Oh, it tickles me when I look back at what I say, because I don't come up here with jokes and all that stuff written down. Here's where you say this, that, and other. In fact, I'm having a hard time staying with these little notes. But one time I was preaching a revival, my wife said, after 6 weeks, she said, honey, yeah, is there any way that you could preach on anything except hell? She said, why don't you preach on faith? I said, what do you mean? She said, you have been preaching about hell for 6 weeks. And I went, really? Every night? Now, I used to, we'd preach 4 or 5 nights a week, you know. And I'd go, oh, well, I didn't know that. And she chirped up, you know. She said, if you could, you know you're a faith man. If you could bring a message on faith, there ain't no telling. She started getting excited. And I said, I'm going to preach on faith. I'm going to preach on positivity. That's a college word. And some words these preachers say, and I'm like, I'm glad for Google. And so I got up that night, and I said, my wife wants me to preach positive. And she was like, what? He told everybody, and she's kind of smiling. And I said, okay, I am. She said, I've been preaching on hell, so I'm going to preach positive tonight. Lauren, she's looking straight in the eye like Gordon. Then my eyes get big. I know her face. Her eyes get big. She's like, and I said, so I'm positive tonight. She smiled. I said, I'm positive half this church is going to hell. That meal after church was kind of quiet. See, the devil starts operating in darkness. Sun kept a lot of things back, but now we see that this man, this house, that people are gathered all across the yard, the Bible says they were brought there for their healing. And so somewhere there was an entrance, and people were entering into this house. So I want you to go with me for the next few minutes to this house. Here are people lined up that are lame, that are blind, that are mental, that are possessed, that are all, the Bible says, there were so many diseases that he didn't even name them. He just said different diseases. And there's this line of people that are trying to get into this house because he's going to lay hands on every one of them. In other words, it's going to be a personal healing. And so they're going in sick, and they're coming out well. And people had been doing this all day long. People were just hurt, going in, back well. Sick, back well. Diseased in, healed out. Look at your neighbor and say, diseased in and healed out. And that happened over and over and over and over. So think with me for just a few minutes. The line kept moving towards the door. One in, and the next person stepped up. one end, and the next person stepped up. You saw them coming out the door smiling. You know that they're healed. You think I'm going to quit? No, I already see what I'm about to be from somebody that's been in front of Jesus. Are you hearing me right now? I'm going in one at a time, and I'm going to get my healing. And this happened over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, we need to start looking around and see what God has done for each one of us and say, if God can take her out of depression, God can take me out of depression. If God can heal that man's mind, God can heal mine. Got to preach a few more minutes, I know, and so all day there's just been a man, a woman, one in, one out. I don't know, this is me. You can't tell me the diseased people are looking at the well people and not getting happy. You can't tell me that these diseased people see somebody coming out, they walked in there dragging a bad leg, and just walk out and go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Poo-yah! Now, I don't know if Jews did that. They might have just pulled up the robe and gone, yes. I don't know. But me, I would have gone, hit me. And that next person's like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. I just saw that. And so they went in one at a time, eyes on the door. But soon it got to be dinner time, lunch time, and their eyes are on the door. And then it got about 3 o'clock, and eyes are on the door, and eyes are on the sunset. Because the Jewish law says you can't work after sunset. And so now the people that are in the line are looking at people getting healed. And they're starting to wish, I wish this line was going a little faster, because I'm trying to gauge how far back I am versus how low that sun's getting. And I need to get in there before all the work is done, because when the sun sets, this is all over. And when the sun sets, if I ain't in there, I ain't going to get my healing. And so the line, people were starting to say, let's hurry it up. Let's get a little faster. And some people started getting a little panic. But the devil begins to smile. And he begins to say, I got another night in this old body. And I got another night to inflict disease, because their time is running out. I got another night to play and to inflict pain. I've got another night to inflict misery. And disease was screaming, maybe I can just pull them over the edge tonight and kill them, because they're at the end of the line. Somebody was last. Somebody was last in line. Someone was standing, and nobody was behind them. I can keep this picture in my mind, and hopefully you can. Shadows are coming. Darkness is coming. Somebody move faster. Somebody hurry up. And I imagine that somebody in that line started looking around going, okay, there's another 50 right there. And the sun is right here. Oh, my Lord, I ain't going to make it. So I guess I'll just come back tomorrow. And they peeled out. And somebody said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm not going to make it. There's 50 of them in front of me, and it's almost dark. And I'm just not going to. But that guy in the last in the line, can you imagine when people started walking by him and saying, man, you're last. You know, all them people that got healed today, you're last. You ain't going to get in there. How you know? But look at the sun. He's fixing to quit in just a minute. And that old dude in the last was really getting enticed. You might as well go home. You might as well go home and try it again. But somehow that man that was last
that man that everybody was trying to get out begin to say, I'm not going to quit just because the sun seems to be setting. I'm not going to quit just because somebody don't think it's going to happen. No, I'm staying in line. I'm standing. I'm going to keep going forward no matter how bad it looks. I'm moving every time I get a chance. Why are you doing this? Because what I need is in there, and I'm going to get what I need. I wish somebody would get a hold of this. I'm staying in line one step at a time because it ain't over. It's sundown. Shake your neighbor and say, it ain't over in sundown. Hallelujah. It ain't over. That old boy was just, okay, I'm moving. You know what I've had? I've been in this thing, been preaching 36 years, and I still get people criticizing me. It's almost like they're so stupid, they criticize me like they think I care. You know what I mean? It's like, well, if we'll say one more negative thing about him, he'll just probably quit. Ain't happening. Just wasting your breath. I was praying. I'm closing. I was in this big old prayer line, and this pastor said, are you the preachers that are going through hell, which I don't know what that means, but that's what they say, because well, none of us went to hell. You know what I mean? I take things literally. You know what I mean? If you're going through hell, woo, let me look. Yes, you're going to be burned up a little bit. But come to the front, we're going to pray for you. And I went up there. My wife said, you know, because back in those days I was younger and it bothered me that a lot of people just didn't like my stand on stuff. Like I didn't care about politics, never have, don't care. I just don't care. I only care when they really mess up. Then I got a big problem and I'll tell them and they don't like it. Okay, they don't like it. Well, you're not into politics, that, and you're the reason why. So I went up there, and I was standing there, and preachers all lined up. It's probably about 100, 150 preachers, man. Big old line of them. And I'm standing there, and I mean these people, these other men were coming by and praying and laying hands on them. And I'm like, I'm fixing to get juiced up right here, man. The Lord's told me to come up here, and my wife actually told me, and I'm sure she heard from the Lord, maybe. She just might have wanted it to be over. I don't know. And I'm standing there, and here's what happened. I'm standing there, and they get right here, and I'm praying, and I hear them. I hear them praying for this guy. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yes, Lord. Lord, I need to be strong. I need to get some strength back fighting this fight. And they went right here. And I didn't get, I reached up there like, today. And they're praying for this guy. And I thought, well, I didn't even get oiled up. You know, they were oiling up everybody. You can tell people that's got prayed for a lot, they don't have no wrinkle right there. And they can be 85 years old and just bald up the streak right there. And I looked, and they're just praying like crazy on these men. And I thought, what? And I'm doing right now, just stunned. What happened? And so I just kind of backed up. I thought, no, that ain't going to happen. So I went down, scooted in there. People were praying, looking. Oh, sorry. Here they come again. I'm like, all right. This time I kind of stepped out a little bit. You know, the line was pretty straight. But this time I thought, well, I'll just step out a little bit and make it obvious I need prayer. Did you hear me? I need prayer. I've been praying for thousands of people. I need some. And so here they come, and I get it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God, you're going to do it to me, Lord. I need you tonight. And I hear them, and this time I open up my eyes. I did one of them things like y'all do, the peekaboo. And they're coming right here. And I'm thinking, Lord, I better shut my eyes. They finna catch me. Shut my eyes. They pray. Went right by me. And now I'm like, okay, now what? Do these people don't think I need prayer? And so I look around at my wife. She's sitting way back in the back. And I look at her and I went like. Yeah, I mean, wives know sign language, you know. And men do too. We know sign language like. And so and she just went. So I got in there again. And this time I did the peekaboo. Here they come, and I'm doing this. Lord, I need you, God. I need you, Lord, to restore strength. I need you, God. I am, Lord. And they're praying, and I'm like, boy, I got my eyes on you. It's going to be hard for you to skip me when I'm looking at you. Like, and screaming, I need prayer, Jesus. I need somebody to lay hands on me, God. I need somebody to help me restore my strength. Walk right by me. I was like, what? What? And I'm watching them this time, brother. And they're watching. I'm thinking, well, all right. Maybe I don't need as much as I thought I needed. And I ain't going to quit. Because somebody didn't. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord, this is when the Lord started teaching me stuff. He said, you're already anointed. Just lay your own hand on your head. And I thought that dude right here said it. And he's still praying. David Shatwell was a friend of mine. He's walking by. About that time, I looked up at him. I went, here we go, Bubba. Pam. And when I laid my hand on my head, both of my legs buckled. They had to carry me upstairs to the hotel room. Here's the reason. I made up my mind just because I got skipped over, I was not going to quit. Just because somebody skipped me doesn't mean that I was just going to quit and go eat a sandwich. I made up my mind. I'm going to stand in line no matter what. There ain't no quitting me. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my deliverance. I'm going to get my health. I'm going to get my new job. I'm not going to quit. Somebody give him a little praise right now. See, what happens is the enemy starts getting in our brain. If he can get in your mind, like, you know what, Brother McCoy didn't shake your hand today. Well, this service ain't for you. No, no, no. The reason I know the service is for me, because I came. Are you hearing me? The reason I know this message is for me, because I'm in the building. The reason I know this song is for me is because I came. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay until I'm determined not to quit. Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. You can be seated for just a second. Don't quit. No, no, don't quit. Don't quit. I know I don't have all the Bible school background to make all these. Thank God for being able to bend over. Remember, I couldn't do that. My knee was messed up. Y'all saw that. I couldn't bend. I couldn't even walk down them stairs. You think I'm going to quit? You think I ain't got a praise in my leg? I got a praise in my feet. I got a praise. Why? Because God healed me. I know that the Lord has been good to me. Somebody say amen. You can be seated. I got to hurry. I got to go. All you guests think I was moonwalking. I was moonwalking before Michael Jackson was born, okay? I used to play softball. I know I don't look like it right now, but I was on the team for three state Texas State Championships. I was on that team. It's the only time that we know of that any one team has won it three times. I was a lot younger. When I was younger, I could run a 4.440, which is real fast. I mean, there's people that run faster, but I was a white guy. Everybody thought white guys couldn't run. And so when I'd get to running, it'd be like, oh, well, there's a white guy. And I'd outrun. I could hit to the shortstop and outrun the throw to first. And it just drove them insane. Now, it doesn't count on your score. It doesn't count on your stats because, you know, I hit to somebody. But it counted because I was on base. So I didn't care about my stats. I cared about winning. You hear what I'm saying? So if you looked at our stats, I had about a 317 hit stat. But if you looked on base, I was up there around 700-800 all the time. Always standing there. It'd make the shortstop so mad because I'd come to the base and I'd look at everybody like you're supposed to do, and then take my bat and just go. In other words, coming to you. And man, they'd get down, they'd hit them gloves, slap the ground. They'd get so mad. And I just see people looking. I'd get them so psyched up, I knew their muscles were tight. See, you want them to have loose muscles. And I knew by then, them legs would be all tense. Like, now, how are they going to move? Oh, we're on the internet. Ooh. And so we were in the state championship. We'd lost because of round robin, and you go in the loser's bracket. Well, we goofed off a game, lost it. Now, we had played, listen to this, started on Friday after work, and now we'd played every other hour for 24 hours. All day Saturday, every other hour. We lost the game on Saturday morning, went all the way around the clock, didn't stop for sleep. No, you slept right there. You ate right there if you wanted to win. And so then Sunday we're playing every other hour. Folks, even as a young man, we were starting to wear down. We couldn't lose. If we lose, we're out of the game. We're gone. We were playing a team called Pittsburgh Rangers. And they were good. And that night at 10 o'clock on Sunday night, we're back in the finals. This other team hadn't even lost a game, undefeated, since Friday. We'd lost that one game and played every other hour. And Sunday night at 10 o'clock, our team walked out. We're having muscle spasms, hand spasms. We didn't have a 15-man team like a lot of guys. We didn't have a deep bench. Had 10 on the field, had 2 on the bench. David said, we're here. We might as well win it, boys. Now, you got to realize we're having some muscle cramps. I got blood. I still have scars. Blood flowing from here and here. Several of us were beat up. Most of us had blood. Most of us had burn marks from sliding. We don't look very good. We look bad. And we look over there at that bench, and they got 15 players. We got 12, and every one of us has played every other hour. Those guys played every 4 hours. So they got to eat, sleep, not us. It would be like about the time you'd about to doze off on the ground there on your bag, somebody would say, it's time to go. You'd start getting up, start having spasms. Can you go? Yeah, I'm going. I got it. We're going to make it. And that night, 10 o'clock, a bunch of ragtag boys from East Texas, Lawrence, stepped out on that field. We wasn't like them other people. The other people were walking out there, hey, man. We were doing this. Oh, God. All right, boys, we got to. And our coach kept saying, we got two more, two more, two more, two more. We beat them the first one. Now it's tied. Whoever wins the next one wins the state championship. We're sitting on the bench. Tommy Herndon looked over at me. He said, how you feel? I said, how do I look? Now, I had long hair. It had dirt all in it. Uniforms nasty. Got clay up the side. He said, you look bad. I said, well, you do too. You're looking in a mirror. He said, what do you think? I said, I ain't going home. I know that. He said, you think we can beat them? I said, my God, we just beat them. Are you hearing me? The same 12 tired guys just beat them. So certainly we can beat them again. How many of you in this house have defeated the devil before? Certainly you should be able to do it again. How many of you have been through hell? And certainly you should be able to defeat it again. Because the Bible says that greater is in you than he that's in the world. My God, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back up. I'm going to stand up, praise him, pray for one another. Something's going to happen, and I'm going to make sure it happens to me. Why don't you shake your neighbor and say, don't quit.
You can be seated. Can you imagine when that guy's looking at that, and there's three people. There's three people. See, Lauren, he did not know that Jesus wouldn't quit. He didn't know that rule was going to be broken. All he knew was, I'm three from the door and only have a few seconds. Somebody hurry up and get healed. You missed it. All I know is somebody in front of me needs to hurry up and get healed because my healing depends on their healing. Some of you don't understand how important you are. The reason you need to stand and praise is because you're the key to the next person getting up and saying, wait a minute, if they can get it, I can get it. If they can receive it, I can receive it. If God will do it for them, God will do it for me. I'm not going to quit. That lady in front of me, she's showing me exactly what's about to happen to me. I wish somebody that needed something would just come running to the front and throw up your hands and start praying, because God is still going to do the same thing.